The Robert Allenby story, also an interesting one today, as Jason Logan from Score Golf joins us from the Canadian Open. Jason, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm good. After the Allenby story came out, I went looking up online, and he's actually had two caddies quit on him mid-round before. And then his story about Vegas, the police said involved theft, but no beating. So do we take Allenby at word here? Like, is this guy a hard guy to caddy with if this is the third time now in his career, him and a guy have split ways during the round?
Yeah, I mean, his nickname Down Under, according to a tweet I got, because I actually was one that wrote that story and sort of got tipped off when I got to the golf course today and then went and tracked Allenby's group down and spoke to Allenby and spoke to the fan that actually jumped under the ropes to caddy for him for the last nine holes. But his nickname Down Under is Caddy Killer. So he's not the most popular person on the PGA Tour, and he's not the most popular player and certainly not the easiest one to caddy for. So a very, very interesting story with him claiming to have fired his caddy and his caddy claiming that he quit. And he ended up getting a fan to carry from the last nine holes and shot 81 and promptly withdrew from the tournament, claiming that, to me anyways, that his caddy said he was waiting for him in the parking lot afterwards and Allenby wanted to get security on out of here. So crazy stuff.
Now, has anybody had the chance to follow up and talk to the caddy, or has he just made himself scarce? Because, you hear the things about Allenby, but you cover these guys. We're a long ways away. Is this a guy who's just hard on his caddies, hole after hole after hole, and it shows? Because that seems to be the picture that's being painted.
Yeah, no, I think he is. I mean, I don't think we're breaking any news there that he has a history of flare-ups with caddies, and another one today. I tried to find the caddy. His name is Mick Middlemo. He is an Aussie. Allenby told me, they're mates, they're friends, and this just sort of came out of nowhere to him. I got a tweet from a follower in Australia that said the caddy was tracked down by Australian radio. I couldn't find the clip, but this guy, this follower just gave me the Coles notes, which was the caddy said that Allenby was very verbally abusive to him. So it, obviously, I didn't think it was a one-sided story to begin with, but the caddy was abusive to him. Allenby called him a fat so-and-so several times. The caddy said, "Do it again and I'm going to walk." Allenby apparently stopped. Again, this is according to his caddy. Then started up again. And so the caddy said a few smart words to him. And that was it. They parted ways on the 18th hole. So you still don't know the story, whether or not the caddy got fired or the caddy quit. But they both have their own side of the story. But anyway, slice it, he left after nine holes in a huff. And Allenby proceeded to have a fan caddy for him the rest of the way.
It's interesting how different the stories are. And Allenby, based on the fact that the police in Hawaii said his story has a tendency to be completely fabricated, unfortunately, I'd be one to lean towards maybe believing the caddy in this case. So let's move on to the tour itself and the first round. Lots of really good scores today. Grillo the best at 64, Taylor and Harmon at 65, a host of players at 66. This tournament, it used to be such a great tournament, and not that it isn't anymore, but just the timing of it, Jason, is not great because it comes off the heels of the British Open. A lot of the big names don't come.
No, the timing stinks, and that's been the case for several years. I mean, a long way back, the Canadian Open was in the September time slot, and that was not necessarily ever viewed as a perfect slot because it always coincided with two things, NCAA football and the first week of school. And that was always the reason why a lot of American players said, well, I can't come up because I'm going to X game, or I can't come up because my kids are back to school this week. So it got moved in the summer, and lo and behold, it gets put right behind the Open Championship. So it's a grind for the Golf Canada folks to get a stellar field. Now, thankfully with RBC and their sponsorship of the event and their sponsorship of several players, there are a number of stars in the field, Jason Day, Matt Kuchar, Jim Furyk. Outside of the RBC guys, you got Bubba Watson, which was a refreshing surprise that he showed up. But after that, after that sort of top-heavy group, it really, really sort of peters out near the end, and you got some guys who are way down the pecking order in terms of priority status. So I would just define the field as, you know, six or seven really, really good names, the Canadians, and then a whole bunch of guys who most golf fans probably couldn't tell apart.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, some of the guys who are on the other side of the proverbial hill, Vijay Singh, Ernie Els, Jim Furyk's still a pretty good player. But you mentioned the Canadians. That can spice up a tournament, great field or not, if they can challenge. That's not the case right now. Tell us about Delay so far.
Yeah, sorry. Did you mean Dillette, Graham Dillette?
Yeah, Dillette.
Sorry. Yeah, Dillette. So he sustained an injury out there, injury to his left thumb. He just got off a golf course and just got out of a scrum with him, and I rushed out of there to take your call. But he doesn't can't really pinpoint exactly what happened, assuming it happened on a shot. But his left thumb just kind of wrenched back, and after that, you know, he was saying he just couldn't commit to anything, and he was flaring all the shots out to the right. Called for his trainer to come over, got it taped up, and actually said he was starting to hit the ball better near the end once he got that sorted out. Actually said he wasn't completely sure whether or not he was going to be able to play tomorrow or not. Obviously, he really, really wants to, this being the Canadian Open. But yeah, it was a struggle for him. And, you know, a few decent performances. David Hearn came in with 3 under. With a bogey on the last hole. Adam Svensson, the young rookie pro from BC, 3 under. So, I mean, it's early. It's day one. And a guy like Hearn, you know, he gets to go out right again tomorrow morning. So maybe he can take advantage of what were a little softer morning conditions than what we saw in the afternoon.
You mentioned it used to be in September. Now it's in July. Is there any chance they could move this to a different weekend in the future?
Unlikely. I mean, when you start looking at the schedule, there's only so many places that the Canadian Open can move to. I wrote about this a couple years ago. I think the week that they were really targeting was, not surprisingly, the July 1st long weekend. Now, you know, the issue there is that, as you know, sometimes that calendar presents a situation where it's the July 1st long weekend and it's the American Independence Day weekend, and you might get some American players decide not to come up because of that. But I think, I don't know for sure, but I think money played a big factor in that new, relatively new tournament, the Greenbrier Classic in West Virginia, got slotted in there. It's getting a great field. You know, it's far enough away from the U.S. Open and the Open Championship that it's a perfect spot. When you start looking at the summer schedule, and obviously it's got to be in the summer, especially if you want to move the tournament around. You got majors, you've got WGC events, you've got other tournaments like the Memorial and, you know, tournaments that are not going to move, and there's only a couple places the Canadian Open can go, and really none of them are all that attractive. So, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, stuck behind the Open Championship, and it's not going to get any better next year because the Olympics has messed up the schedule, and the Canadian Open, by all accounts, is going to be between the Open Championship and the PGA Championship. We talked to the Golf Canada officials earlier this week. They said they didn't think it's going to affect the field. You know, an hour later, we asked Jason Day about that, and he kind of gave one of those, ooh, wow, that's a tough spot. I'm really going to have to look at my schedule to see if I can fit that in. So next year might be an even leaner field than what we have this year.
Jason, in the big picture, where do you see this tournament going? And I don't mean in terms of where it gets placed. It seems to me it's become an afterthought, not through intention, but like you say, through scheduling and number of events. I mean, financially, how is this tournament doing if the field seems to fade to black in terms of marquee value over the years?
Well, last year the tournament lost $1.2 million when it was in Montreal. It was an embarrassingly poor attended event. There was some aggravating factors surrounding that. It was played during the construction holiday in Quebec, which is a two-week forced holiday. It was played during a time when their comedy festival was in town, so it was competing against that. But I think the Canadian Open's future is tied very much to RBC. RBC pumps a lot of money into this event. RBC brings the marquee players to this event. The contract with the Canadian Open expires in 2017. I have no reason to believe RBC is not going to renew that contract. Golf Canada would certainly love it if they did. But because of the money, I think it's one reason, and I know you said you didn't want to talk about where it's going to go in terms of location, but because of that, that's why I think the Canadian Open will continue to be played at Glen Abbey, if not on a permanent basis, on a very regular basis, because they can make more money here than anywhere else. They can fit all kinds of spectators in. And their attendance today was fantastic. You know, the weather's got a lot to do with that. It's perfect. But they can make more money playing at Glen Abbey than they can anywhere else. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was here 4 to 5 years or 3 to 5 years moving forward.
Jason Logan from Score Golf joins us from the Canadian Open. It's interesting. So I didn't even look at the schedule for next season. So the British Open plays 1 week, then the Canadian Open, and then the following week will be the PGA. So we're going to have two majors in a span of 3 weeks?
It's not 100% confirmed, but that's, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. I don't think it's not been published yet.
Okay.
But, I mean, even talking to Golf Canada CEO Scott Simmons, he basically said that's what I'm hearing and that's what I've been told. So I think you can pretty much count on that. The PGA Championship has to move ahead in the schedule to make way for or make room for the Olympics, which is in August, which is when the PGA normally takes place.
Wow. Now, why wouldn't they move it to September? Just curious.
Why wouldn't they move the PGA to September?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're running into the FedEx Cup. I mean, you know, that's you're running into the FedEx Cup and the way that the PGA Tour has restructured the schedule, the FedEx Cup you're running into, the Ryder Cup is going to be played in the fall. The start of the 2016-17 season now starts in October. They don't start the season in January anymore. They started in October and have a split calendar schedule. So the only option was to move it up in the schedule instead of back. And like I said, that's going to put the Canadian Open in a tough position.
Jason, Canadians, you know, two at minus three today. So definitely has them, you know, in the hunt, Adam Svensson and David Hearn. Either one, do you think will have a chance moving into the weekend to maybe end that that lengthy drought?
I expect David Hearn would continue to play well. I mean, he's grew up in Brantford, not far from Oakville here, has a lot of support out. He's played a number of Canadian Opens now. He's had a really good year. I mean, he just recently lost in a playoff at the Greenbrier Classic. You know, had it at 4-under and just made a bit of a mess of the par 5 finishing hole. Definitely ended on a sour note, and he said as much. But he likes the way he's playing. And I, you know, speaking with David before the tournament started, I really believe he now sees himself as having taken that next step to not just being a guy that's trying to keep his card every year, but a guy that's, you know, putting himself in position a lot to win, and a guy that's, you know, going from a mid-tier player to not a top-tier player, but certainly somewhere in between. So if I was to place my money on anybody, I would say that, you know, Hearn, especially with the morning tee time tomorrow when conditions for scoring should be a little more favorable, I think he's probably our best bet right now.
Jason, really appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the weekend, and hopefully Hearn and the boys do very well, and Dillette's injury isn't too serious.
Okay, thanks for having me on, guys.